And good afternoon, folks. This is the Over the Fence show here on Raglan Community Radio 98.1 FM and also going over to our friends on Free FM 89.0 coming out of the Tron, going throughout the Waikato. Hope you're having a great day out there, folks. And a lovely bit of morning rain, haven't we? And it's, I think we should, sort of treasure every drop we get from now if it's going to be a dry summer like everyone says. And today on the show, we'll go through some promising headlines, probably. We'll definitely do some weather. We'll have a look at gardening to-dos, and we are joined in the studio by Laura. And we're going to be talking probably pests and things like that at this stage. We're still trying to figure that one out, and we'll come to that all very soon. But firstly, I'm going to play a song while I get probably the weather organised. So, what Bill Withers called Grandma's Hands, and this is for me old mate. And Pronga Ho, Stoddy. Hope you enjoyed this one, Stod.
Grandma's hand clapped in church on Sunday morning. Grandma's hands played a tambourine so well. Grandma's hands used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's hand. Eyes in Grandma's hands. Soothe the local unwed mother. Grandma's hands. Used to ache sometimes and swell. Whoa, Grandma's hands. Used to lift her face and tell her she'd say, baby, Grandma understands that you really love that man. Put yourself in Jesus' hands. Grandma's hands. Eyes in Grandma's hands. Used to hand me piece of candy. Grandma's hands. Pick me up each time I fail. Boy, they really came in handy. She'd say, Matty, don't you whip that boy. What you wanna spank him for? He didn't drop no apple core. But I don't have Grandma anymore. If I get to heaven, I'll look for Grandma's hand.
Right, folks, there we are. That was Bill Withers there with his song Grandma's Hand. That one goes out of you, Stoddy, and while I get the weather organised. Here goes another live one by JJ Cale called Drifter's Wife. It's live at the Gothic Theatre in Inglewood. Hope you enjoy this one.
Thank you. Had me a woman down in Tennessee. Boy, she used to love me. Free fever got me and I had to go. I never seen that woman no more. New York City is a place I've been. I was there one time with a traveling band. Young girl there wanted me to stay. I think she wanted me to pay. Roll it out, roll it in. Here we go, down the road again. Drifter's life is a drifter's wife. Don't say I didn't tell you so. Portland, Oregon to the Mexican line. Boy, let me tell you, the women are fine. If you don't hang around there very long, they never ever know you're gone. Roll it out, roll it in. Here we go, down the road again. Drifter's life is a drifter's wife. Don't say I didn't tell you so.
How y'all doing? All right.
There we are, folks. That was, of course, JJ Cale live there with his song Drifter's Wife. Great song. And now we're going to do some weather here on the Over the Fence show. And as of this morning, Tropical Cyclone Mel is brushing past Fiji this morning and will affect the western side of the largest island, Vitulivu, as a severe Category 3 storm. Despite the strengthening to a severe storm, Mel is tracking offshore to the west, sparing much of Fiji from the storm's worst weather. And what updates do we have here? So probably most of whatever's going to happen there is probably already has. It's going to drift off to out into the Pacific once more. I'm trying to think what islands around there that it might get next, but it's nothing springing to mind. And what else can we bring you for today? Well, some of the headlines for today is that there's an electrical brownout down in Dunedin, I presume that is. But anyway, there's a warm day in the North Island. The warmest temperatures today can be expected for the North Island, with highs reaching into the early 20s for many. It's the warmest in the east, with highs in the middle, perhaps even late 20s. I'm just looking at the map there, and yeah, it looks kind of pretty cool down, kind of southern Southern Alps, kind of Fiordland kind of ways. There's going to be a few heavy showers north Otago overnight, and a small trough line forms overnight, bringing the possibility of a few heavy showers for North Otago, kind of area, and perhaps southern parts of South Canterbury. It's going to be lower level instability. It's going to be one of the factors along with converging winds down there. And what else? Oh, here we go. Heavy rain for the west coast Thursday, Friday overnight. So that's going to move from the Tassie, and that's going to bring heavy rain to mostly the west coast down south, but we may get some rain here sort of Thursday night, Friday morning, by looks things at this stage. But yeah, as we know, folks, the weather's pretty fickle in spring. So yeah, that may or may not bring some good rain. And it's actually good to have a bit of rain, I feel like, this sort of time of the year. And what can we say for you locally here? Well, here in the Waikato, we can expect a few morning showers. Yeah, we had a few of those. No, good ones too. Nice, gentle rain. Then sunny spells increasing, and out the window, what do you see? Laura, welcome to the show, Laura.
Kia ora. I see a little bit of wind out
yes.
there.
Yes.
Sun shining through the clouds, bit of blue sky.
Very good.
And this big storm coming in. No.
All right. And so that's out the window here, right, in beautiful Whanganui today. We got west to south-westerly winds going to die out later in the day. It's not too windy, though. And expecting highs, I think it's about 21 degrees or something like that. So that's a bit of a wrap-up, and here we go. The sun rose this morning at 6:02 and will set at 8:10 this evening, even though it's getting kind of light around about 5:15 in the mornings, which is great if you're up at that time, which it should be. It's a good time of the day to be up. And the length of visible light is 15 hours and 6 minutes, and the actual day length is 14 hours and 7 minutes. And tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, will be 1 minute and 51 seconds longer than it is today. And Laura's going to bring us some beautiful moon weather. forecast.
Well, the moon today in the Maramataka is apparently, I'm using this app called Hina, and it's Hoata. So this is, so we've just passed the new moon. So the new moon's kind of a time of whero. So the new moon is a kind of time to rest, kind of reflect on the cycle that's been. And then Hoata says, a good day for eeling, crayfishing and planting kumara and seed crops.
So it'd be your parsnips and carrots and or all seed crops or just the ones that grow down. What did you think?
I thought that it was more on the way to the full moon, you're planting the vegetables that grow out of the ground.
Yeah,
on the way towards the new moon, it's the root vegetables. That was my understanding.
Yeah, because it draws the sap or the savia up or down. Yeah, so now it's not probably okay.
But this is like a general maramataka. There were different maramatakas like, and guides for each different part of Aotearoa.
Right.
So this is just like a
general
one for all Aotearoa.
Right on. Okay. And it is a waxing crescent or a first quarter, I'm presuming that is, right?
I think I was born on a waxing crescent.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what you were born on?
I don't. I should look it up.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm a Gemini moon sign.
Oh, my mum's a Gemini.
Yeah. And a sun sign as well, actually. So I'm a double Gemini.
Shit, watch out for you.
Yeah.
And I've got the good phase at the moment.
Chinese, what am I like? fire snake, I think Chinese was.
I think I was. I'm a rat.
All right. Maybe we can talk about rats a bit later.
That sounds about right. With the pests. It's all making sense now.
I see. All right. So there we go, folks. And so, 7% moon luminate tonight with the waxing gibbous phase starting on the 20th, which is 5 days away from now. This is a bit of weather for you, and now we're going to play a request from Laura. Tell us how you know about soaked oats.
I actually don't really know, but I think it was through some friends that had been to their gig, and yes, I listened to their music from that.
Right.
Yeah, recommended.
All right. And you haven't heard this one, The Way It Works?
No, I haven't.
Came out 1 year ago. Good song. Hope you enjoy it. Here we are, folks, Soaked Oats, The Way It Works, for I guess today, Laura.
Welcome to the world, the way it works.
right, there we are, folks. That was Soaked Oats there with The Way It Works, and it's Gardening to News time here on the Over the Fence show now. And if you're gardening by the moon, right now in the new moon phase, it is an excellent time to sow or plant sweet corn into enriched soil, and also plant your Mediterranean herbs like thyme, sage, oregano and basil. And from Monday, which will be the first quarter phase, an excellent time to plant pumpkins and melons and more zucchinis and cucumbers, and also capsicums, eggplants and chilies and those sorts of things. And Laura, our guest today, is going to read you the list of all what else you can plant.
Alyssum, right. Apricot, asparagus, basil, beans, beetroot, blackberries, blueberries, broccoli, cabbage, capsicum, carrots, celery, chilies, chrysanthemum, coriander, cosmos, courgettes, cucumber, dahlia, daisy, dianthus, eggplant, feijoas, fuchsia, gerbera, impatiens, kumara, thank you, lavender, leeks, lemons, lettuce, limes, mandarins, marigold, mesclun, oranges, parsley, parsnip, passion fruit, petunia, poppy, potatoes, pumpkin, squash, radish, raspberries, rocket, rose, silver beet, snapdragon, spinach, spring onion, strawberry, sweet pea, sweet corn, tomatoes, watermelon.
There we are, folks. There's a few things you can get on with. Well done, Laura.
And can I get something for that?
What would you like? What would you like for doing that? Maybe chocolate fish, something like that? I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll figure something out anyway. But now, folks, I'm going to play for you a song that I've just they're going to be playing at the Yard on the 24th of January. I just got a thing from, I think it was Banished Music or something, this morning. So, and they're a band from New Delhi, and they're called Peter Cat Recording Company. And here's a live song. There's a Memory Box, and I hope you enjoy it.
I was once And if you lose your wings, you know I'd be the same. Oh, diamonds by the sea, the sun they shone for me. Ooh, baby, tie me down, I am dangling on. Past the storm. Past the storm.
There we are, folks. That was the Peter Cat Recording Company with their song Memory Box. Something a bit different, isn't it? So that's going to be coming. They're coming to the Yard at the end of January. So getting quick for those tickets, folks. And now we're going to do some public service announcements today on the show. And as always, the lovely Katie is sitting out over next door at the Whangarau Environment Centre, and the Aroha Seed Stand is sitting in the entranceway between here and there, and it's got a bunch of seeds and some potting mix and some little punnets and things like that. So you can just go up there, grab your seeds, take them home, and start growing, folks, that you can do. And also, we were supposed to have on this week Fran from the Soul Sisters, but she's tied up bringing Nicole Masters to the country, and she's doing a soil resilience tour down in Horohoro, I think it is, tomorrow and Friday. And I think there might be one or two tickets left for that, so she's well worth a listen if you can make it to that one. And then she's going to Timaru, which is a bit far away from here, but she's doing one, I think, early next week down there. So check that one out on Soil Sisters, and look up Nicole Masters. If you may remember, I played one of her talks from TEDx in Tauranga last week. And
is she talking about soil health?
All things interesting about soil, actually. Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah. It's like that was quite an introductory thing. Like, she's talking about tardigrades and, you know, little bugs in the soil and things like that.
Okay, yeah.
And how much the earth is actually topsoil, stuff like that. Which is very little, you know, and yeah, just all the, you know, all the organisms and microorganisms, things like that actually live in the soil and stuff like that. So it was interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
She's phenomenally clever on all things soil. She's heaps and heaps of stuff on her on YouTube to check out about soils and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah, because Nicole, soil's pretty important, isn't it?
Absolutely it is, yes. The key, the world's most important resource, would you say?
I would agree with that statement, yeah.
Because, I think she had like an apple, right, and she cut it up into eighths, I think it was, and then like the skin off an eighth of an apple is basically all there is, you know, in the whole world, topsoil-wise, that we can actually use to grow stuff in that, or that actually grows stuff, or whatever.
Okay.
With, you know, a lot of it's desert, or, you know, too steep, or whatever, and stuff like that. So yeah, that was she's interesting. Yeah, so definitely get into her if you like your soil. What else? Oh yeah, Surfing Farmers will be returning on the 29th of November. So put that one in your diaries, folks. In a couple of weeks away, we're going to be talking to Maddie Kirk, the organiser for that, on the 22nd. Before that happens, so it's 29th Surfing for Farmers. So don't forget that one. And also on the Growers Gig Guide, put together by Tanya from the Whanganui Environment Centre. And what have we got coming up here? They've got the Growers Gathering tomorrow. There's a refractometer use demonstration, and discuss your favourite gardening tool. What's your favourite gardening tool, Laura?
A big sharp knife. Yeah, for like cutting back weeds without. I just cut them back. It's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
like a machete sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. It's well worth well worth investing in one of those. Yeah. I've got a cool one. It's like, I found it at a second-hand market.
Yeah.
And it was like $25 or something. And it's got a bamboo handle and this massive blade.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's sharp.
You sharpen it yourself? Got it like a, you
oh, I'm learning how. I need to learn how to do it properly here, because it'll get blunt soon. But it's it's fun for just cutting things back before they go to seed. And
you got a little like a scabbard or whatever in your gardening belt. You sort of slide it into.
I've got a backpack that's in the shape of a big knife, a leather backpack, and it was painted by an artist here in Whainaroa. I actually can't remember her name, but I bought it at Ulo's. At the second-hand shop there.
Right,
It's like a Robin Hood backpack almost, you know, like for your knives.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Robin Hood, now who's the dude on Robin Hood? If you remember Robin the Hooded Man, you remember that series? Nazir. He had two swords in his back sort of thing, what you're talking about.
I do have two.
Nice.
I'm going to steal from the rich and give to the poor too.
Awesome. I'd like to see you in action doing that one day. Bring out two blades and
I'm ready for the apocalypse.
Stuff up. Nice. So,
what's your favourite tool?
I've got a Japanese tool, right? It's like a, nowhere near as brutal or as cool as your thing, but it's got a wee little handle and it's got like a shaped. Like a beak, like a bird's beak sort of shape to it, kind of thing. Nawashi, I think, is something like that. It's called.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a good one just to sort of dig in and you pluck things out nice and gently, I suppose, compared to slashing them up with a machete type style thing. It's a handy tool.
I slash gently.
That one. So, yeah. It's probably my favourite. Yeah, probably use that most often. Nawashi. Apart from my big, heavy spade, you know.
Okay.
I use that a lot too.
Yeah, it's
like
good.
It's got like an old English steel head, you know, good quality steel. It's actually Chris Meek found for me, and then he welded on like a big, long, heavy bit of pipe. So it's a big, heavy spade,
nice.
You know. handy. Yeah, just chop through heaps of stuff.
And sharpen that too, don't you?
Yeah, I do like to keep that sharp. Yeah. But I've always been warned against sharpening your spades, funnily enough. There's a dude, Bill Quinn, who I've had on the show a couple of times, right? And his thing is, when he was a young fella, there's a dude walking along with it with a spade over his shoulder that was real sharp and dropped it accidentally kind of thing, ended up cutting off his like calf muscle.
Yeah,
so
right.
So since then, he's like, he doesn't like sharp spades. But
blunt spade.
But yeah, I do like a sharp
spade. That must have been so sharp.
Yeah, you'd think so, eh? Yeah. Whether it's, you know, Gil and Galigal in that story a little bit, maybe, but yeah, that was his thing.
He lost his leg.
Yeah, so.
That can be dangerous.
Yeah, I suppose so. Anything's dangerous in the wrong hands.
That's right, yeah.
Apart from, like, machetes in a backpack. And what? Sunday. This Sunday, getting back to the Growers Guide. We've got crop swap on about 9:45 to about 10:15. You've been to that one before, Laura, a couple of times, you're saying?
I've just had a wander around once. I didn't have anything to swap. Okay. So I'm going to go back and swap something.
Got something for the Sunday, you reckon?
Yeah, I could make some bread. Sourdough bread, I reckon.
And that's the thing with crop swap, folks. You don't necessarily have to bring plants. You can bring, like, seedlings or seeds or bread or, you know, whatever sort of baking and what else do folks bring. Oh, even old jars and things like that they're not using anymore. So basically anything, really. So, yeah, if you haven't been before, it's worth checking it out. So that's at the bowling club at about 9:45. Crop swap. And later on that day is soil to supper, water smart gardening. How to build self-watering garden beds and more, which would be quite interesting. Going to go to that one, you reckon, Laura?
I don't think I'm going to be. Maybe.
Maybe, yeah. I might check it out. It sounds interesting.
Do you have a self-watering situation?
No. I'm lucky because I stay on my landlord's like farm up Tutuwa, right? And all the mountain is all the water is basically comes off the mountain.
Oh, nice!
And it's all gravity fed. So, yeah, that's one awesome bonus I've got. There's basically sort of endless water pretty much, you know. So,
can you drink it straight from the...
I do, yes.
Main.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Yep. So,
let's
yeah,
get all our waterways like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay,
that's the dream.
That's the dream. It'll happen. Maybe one day. And Tuesday. That's right. It's the third Tuesday of every month is the Raglan Horticultural Society monthly meetup. And they usually have, what have we got here? Potatoes in a bucket competition. Ah, yes. I was there when they were handing out the spuds. Man, that must have been 3 or 4 months ago. So it must be judging time, this one. And they usually have a guest talker and things like that as well. So that's at the Stewart Street Church Hall at 1 o'clock Tuesday. That's every third Tuesday of the month. I must try and remember that. I've only ever made it to once because I keep getting my Tuesdays mixed up. But there we go. And Marv Hay, who's been on the show a couple of times now, she's doing a food forest design course out of their place on Haki Retreat out Phillips Road there from 10 to 4:30 on the 25th of this month. So if you go look at HakiRetreat@gmail.com or check out Haki Retreat on the social media, that sort of thing. The last one sold out, I'm pretty sure, so you might want to get into this one, Food Forest Design Course with Marv A, and I might actually try and get her on before that, so she can have a chat about that as well. And then Community Garden, Working Bee on Windera Street Community Gardens, spring planting happenings down there on Tuesday the 28th from 3 to 4:30. So there we go, there's a few things to do, and I think we're going to come back and have bit of a chat with our guest Laura today after this one by the called Uncertain Smile, and listen out for the piano solo by Jules Holland on this one.
Where I cleared my head, but just for today, I think. under my skin where the rain can get in. But if the sweat pours out, just shout. I'll try to swim and call you out.
All right, folks, here we are. That was the there with their song Uncertain Smile. And now I'm going to play for you a song by the Verlaines called This Valentine. We'll be back with our guests straight after this one.
To Oslo, your letters have shown up from so many places. Gee, I don't know why you still roam. You can't pick a friend out of 2 billion faces. And she's the one to turn your table. Straight road, they don't pick a heart so hard a jackhammer wouldn't break it. All their days flow smooth, but God knows why you choose your lovers on the opposite basis. The ground beneath you is so unstable, and all your ballrooms like Juliet's tomb, and your margaritas get mixed with hellfire. In the deep snow, when you're so cold, you crawl back to the one place where the rats haven't been yet. Letter from Oslo, still in the Cape snow. I know how I wish you were warm, dry, and back here. You say she needs more persuasion. No, 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 castles in the air. Hide your despair. Each time your happiness is on fire.
Folks, there we are. That was the Verlaines there with their song This Valentine. And now We're going to be talking to our guest who's been in the studio this whole show, Laura. Hello again.
Hello.
And you also do a show on the station called Pisside.
Yes, I do. I'm on at 7:30 now. 7:30 on a Sunday evening.
Sunday evening? All right.
Yeah, well, I used to be at 10 o'clock, and I think I had just my mum listening and falling asleep halfway through. So now I'm at a like daylight start.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've just been doing it for a couple months and was kind of inspired by. I don't know. I just noticed that people have this real like anti-plant and anti-certain things that they don't like, and it's really, and they're just kind of blindly trying to poison things or kill things. And I just thought maybe there's another way that we can kind of learn to work with the animals and plants that are here. You know, they're here in Aotearoa now, and like, why are we waging this like crazy war on these things that are just trying to live.
Interesting perspective there. All right. Yeah.
And it's like a bit of a laugh because I don't really have like all the knowledge. I just try and like get it all together on the last day if I'm get enough time. But yeah, I just want to kind of put a positive spin on, yeah, these things that actually all have a purpose and all like do beneficial things for the land and for us. And yeah, so
some examples of that being,
well, gorse.
Yes, gorse.
You quite like gorse, I heard.
Yeah, I respect gorse.
So gorse is a nitrogen fixer.
Yes.
And it's a nursery plant, which helps to protect all the other native plants that are trying to grow up through it. Mm-hmm. It also helps to protect insects that might have been easily predated by birds or anything like that. So where I grew up in Mahuanui, we had there was a gorse block where the giant weta were being put to kind of help their population grow.
Interesting. Okay.
And
people might not know, where is Mahuanui?
Mahuanui is about 2 hours south of here on the way to Taranaki and just south of Piopio and Te Kuiti.
Oh, yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, just drive straight.
Hilly country?
Yeah, it is. Lots of fog, actually. Fog until like 11 in the morning. Yeah. It's a big foggy place.
Yeah. Heaps of bush down there?
Yeah, there is. Mainly farming wise, it's sheep and beef.
Yeah.
And
you're off a sheep beef farm?
I am, My parents have a chestnut orchard as well.
Interesting.
Yes, it is quite an unusual crop to have in Aotearoa, honestly. But they've, after like 27 years or something of the crop, they're making it work. Yeah.
What, how long ago they planted them?
They planted them when I was 7, so now I'm 34, whatever that is, 20-something years ago. Yeah, 27 years ago.
And when did they start harvesting, do you remember?
Pardon?
When did they start harvesting the chestnuts?
They, like how many years after they planted?
Yeah.
I think only 3.
Oh, really?
Maybe something like that, 3 or 4.
I always imagine they'd be like 10, 20 years sort of down the line sort of.
But they've got about, I think they originally planted like 600 trees. Yeah.
That's a lot of trees.
Yeah. It's a huge amount of work. I went back and helped out this season.
Yeah.
And I kind of went back being like, because I actually tried to avoid it because it was like we were picking them up off the ground and, you know, there's like 14 tons of nuts and you're going around trying to get them out of these spiky burrs and put them into buckets and, you know, it was like pretty gnarly. For the kids. I went back this year and tried to help out and be like, oh, maybe we can do it like a different way, you know, get people to come and like pick your own or something like that. But it's pretty far out, like it's pretty out of the way kind of geographically, the town. It's not even a town really, it's a village. And
got any shops?
Nah, closest shops 15-minute drive.
That sounds exactly like my hometown.
Where's that?
Onifiddle.
And where's that?
About an hour and a half north of here, probably. If you go up the back road, sort of
go up Ohaotira Road, and instead of going right past the pub and out at Wainuttle and the hot pools, you go the other way, and you keep heading up that way. It's kind of about 20 minutes or something up in the hills from Port Waikato, up around there.
Okay, so yeah, you'd be by the Waikato River.
Yeah, you can look. Yeah, you can look down over the Waikato from
wow, yeah, beautiful. Yeah. I was actually just up at Turanga Waiwai Marae.
Well, yeah.
Have you been there?
Yeah, I have. Yes. Beautiful.
Man, yeah.
What were you doing up there?
It was the final kind of hui for my rongoa course that I've been doing it through Te Wānanga o Aotearoa.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yep. Yeah, so it was bringing all the groups from Aotearoa to Turanga Waiwai, where we all kind of got together and got to meet each other, and because it's coming to the final, like, end of our year. And
What is ronga for people who want to know?
It's Rongo is the Māori god of peace and cultivated food, mainly kumara, and also of the senses, so apart from the eyesight. So it's kind of his domain, and so it's like healing, essentially, yeah. So everything can be rongoa, so just going into the nahiri, into the bush, can be rongoa or... Yeah, and that kind of translates, I guess, in that way. But, yeah, part of it is working with the rākau, working with different trees and their properties to help us heal as a support. And also there's miri as well, which is like a body work. It doesn't really translate to massage, but you might... No, you know, but it's not.
I've had Miri Miri done to me.
Oh, have you?
And Romi Romi, actually. I think I like Romi Romi better, I think. Yeah.
And how did that go for you?
Really interesting. There was a lady from Opotiki who gave me Romi Romi, and that was, basically going through all different parts of your body and that kind of thing, right?
Mm.
Wasn't really so much to be involved with... natural sort of, woods or stuff like that. Although I don't know what oil she was using, some sort of oil anyway, like a massagey thing. So, but that was like a touching the body thing, and like each different part of your body represents a different sort of aspect of yourself sort of thing. Like, I can't remember exactly, but it was like one of your legs below, your bottom part of your leg was like your mum's side of the family, and the other one was like your dad's and things like that. And if there's any thing there, it's like, oh, and then she'd ask stuff like, oh, does your mum this and that or whatever, and I was like, actually, yeah, she does. She goes, oh, okay, then, well, that's might be to do with this and that. So yeah, well, it was quite fascinating experience.
That's really interesting. I wonder what your left knee pain is.
It's a very good question. Yes. I do mean to go back to her, but she's over in Opotiki, and she's hard to book into nowadays, but yes, I would like to go back and see her to find out about the left knee. You came up with a thing for my left knee. Well,
Puketea.
Puketea, yes.
Yeah.
And so that is an anti-inflammatory or a painkiller-y sort of thing? Or?
Well, yeah, it's good for pain. It's a beautiful, huge tree that grows, well, have I seen it up here? I saw it in Taranaki.
I think it grows around these ways.
Big buttress like trunk. Yeah, when they grow. Yeah, I think I have actually. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're growing.
And it's got a quality to it similar to morphine, but obviously without the side effects of morphine.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's quite a powerful pain relief.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to trying that. You're so kind as to mix me up a brew with that. Yeah. You have a favourite native tree now? You've done all this? Or did you have like a favourite and you've changed your mind on what your favourite is now after you've done this course now? Or?
Honestly, I felt like I had this cloud over my vision with the trees. When because I grew up on a farm.
Mm.
And so you're around trees and around the bush and you're outside all the time, but... didn't notice like any changes or changes of the seasons or anything like that. And I went back to my parents' place at the start of the year and was like, wow, these have fruit and these flower in this way, and it's just like totally opened my eyes to what the trees are actually doing. Yeah, it's amazing. I love Pukatea. I think it's an amazing, amazing,
interesting,
sacred rako. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, yeah.
You get a few of them down.
Just lots
get a lot of mahoe.
Yeah, lots of mahoe. What's down there? Karamu.
Yes.
Puriri's
down there.
No, haven't seen Puriri, but I haven't properly explored the bush over the other side of the river. Yeah, there, but mainly mahoe.
Okay.
Kahikatea.
Ah, yes, yes.
I really like kahikatea too.
Yeah, they're lovely cool. Trees. Yeah.
And nice berries too. Have you tried them?
I've never eaten one, no. They're quite nice.
Tasty.
They eat them straight, do you?
Yep.
Okay.
Before the birds get them.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What about mahoe? What have you learned about the mahoes? Anything?
I haven't worked with it as a rongoa. Well, I think it's good for arthritis, maybe like having a bath in with the leaves. I'm not sure. I need to look that one up, but we'll find out more about it. But it's a good fire tree. It's one of the trees of Mahuika, the fire goddess. Yeah.
Okay. So is that, what else are the fire trees? That? You seen one before? Was that the Pukatea? Was it the, there's another fire one. Anyway.
I should know.
Should come to me. But yeah. Getting back to the weeds anyway, right? Like we were saying before, like privet. You can burn that green. That's one of the good things about privet anyway. Have you done a privet show yet? No.
Ah, that's coming up.
Coming up. Okay.
Yeah. I think it's flowering at the moment, eh, privet? Is it?
I don't think so. I'm not actually sure about that.
I'd be really interested to know what its medicinal properties.
It's got to be something.
Got to be something, hey, yeah.
Have you found of any of these, like, I guess, the weeds you sort of do your show on and add on, are they, what medicinal properties have you found for humans in any of them so far in your explorations?
Yeah, well, gorse, the flowers, used to be used to treat jaundice, so liver problems. I did one this weekend on deadly nightshade.
Yes.
And that actually gets used in two different types of medications that we use today. Atropine, which is for your heart, right?
Yeah.
And scopolamine, I think, which is for dilating the pupils.
Right.
So, yeah, but it's quite a poor, like, it's a strong toxic. Yeah, if you get the wrong amount, it can be quite dangerous. Obviously, it's infecting your heart, so you know, like foxglove is the same.
Okay, yeah.
Used in digoxin, so that's another medication that's used for your heart.
Huh.
Yeah.
So I'm all foxgloves, eh?
Pretty powerful plants.
Yeah, all right.
Just got to learn how to use them properly.
I do drink or respect tea. Them. stinging nettle tea, I like.
I haven't seen that much stinging nettle around here, but maybe I'm being blind.
Yeah. It definitely grows, but it's just not a lot of rouse, but it's all been sprayed out, right? Yeah. By a lot of people.
And about that spray.
Yeah, about that spray. You want to say something about that, don't you, Laura?
Well, I'm kind of inspired to help, I guess, improve our health and the health of the whenua, Papatuanuku.
Yeah.
And I am looking to kind of support people who are wanting to get away from using sprays and kind of, just help people, really. Help people see another way of living with these plants. And, you know, it's not to make anyone feel bad for what they're doing. You know, it's just to, like, be like, maybe we can do it a different way. I kind of thought it would be really cool to, like, get a street of people in Whainaroa that were like, right, let's like see what we can do and like how do we support each other and, you know, like getting rid of plants that we might not want in our gardens or, you know, cleaning, I think, stuff off the roofs and things like that. How do we like, and I think it probably like create a strong community, you know, we're like looking to maybe it could be jobs, you know, maybe it can be giving jobs to people that might want to be involved in that, or rather than giving the money to these big companies that are poisoning us.
yes.
But, yeah, you know, it's not like people, like it's going to be fixed overnight, you know. It's just like ideas and keeping positive about it and like just seeing... I convinced one of my mates to stop spraying, so I'll take that as a win.
It's a win, yeah.
I had to go and help him in his garden all day, but that was sweet. Hello. I am offering that as well, yeah. So through the Time Bank. So
oh, of course.
Are you part of that?
Yes, I am part of Time Bank.
Me too.
Yes.
Yeah, I just put something up on there today to just be like, yeah, if people are struggling to kind of think of how to manage these things, then maybe I can give someone different ideas, or yeah, we can try and come up with a different solution that's not using glyphosate.
I can't remember if that's right or wrong.
Chemicals.
Yeah, I think everyone knows what it means anyways.
I don't know, I think it's just
the kernel of the idea is a very good one, I feel like.
Yeah,
okay. So you put up on Time Bank. I wonder how many takers you get for that one. Interesting. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. Come weed my garden. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, you've already had one success with one of your mates, right? So, yeah. To start.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'll take that.
Yes.
You know, there's no rush on stuff. It's just like slow change, I reckon.
Absolutely. Yeah.
People just got to realise in their own time. That's cool.
Yeah. And you only know what you know, right? Yeah,
exactly. I mean, I used to spray stuff, eh?
Mm-hmm.
I used to spray. I used to wear all the makeup and the hair and the everything.
I've done a lot of spraying too, especially when, like, California thistles, when they're sort of newish in the country, right? Used to, every summer, and, you know, really hot, you know, cruising around spraying the Kellys, right, over and over again. Same patch, pretty much, and sometimes they're a bit smaller, you know, the next year or whatever. And I think it was then, after repeatedly going back spraying the same patch, it was like, you know, what's the point of this, you know? And which got me to thinking about California thistles. I don't know if you've done a show on them yet, have you?
No, I haven't.
Because they're all connected underground, right?
Yes, I did know that.
And what their sort of purpose is, from what I can sort of understand anyway, is that because all their roots join up underground, it breaks up like heavier soils that maybe been compacted down by stock and that over time.
Oh, right, okay.
So it aerates the soil to a certain degree. So, you know, like you kind of say, like weeds, they're there for a reason, right? It's kind of looking at weeds as a response or a solution that nature's trying to find. Like ragwort, have you done a show on ragwort yet?
No, but I'm going to, because my dad, he was share milking when I was younger.
Yes.
And I remember him bringing ragwort back to mum as like flowers, you know.
Smooth.
Yeah. I'm going to find out more about ragwort. Yeah, I remember the smell of it. Strong, isn't it?
Yes, very potent. But my mate, who's an organic dairy farmer down Opotiki, his thing is that it shows that there's a lack of copper in the soil, right? So he waits till the seeds are sort of died off, chucks them in a trough, and just like lets them soak there for months and months, and then sprays it back over the farm as like a fertilizer thing, right?
Okay.
It's just like you're talking about. It's another way to look at, you know, so-called weeds and you know, what you can do with them and all that sort of thing. So, yeah.
Is that like, that's not biodynamics, eh? Nah, it is.
He is involved with the biodynamics, okay, yeah.
That's interesting, eh?
Yeah.
I'm interested in the horn thing. Do you know about that?
No, I don't know heaps about it, but he's got a mate down there, Jack, who I've actually had on the show as well. Interviewed him once a while ago now, and he's fascinating. It's just the whole way they sort of do it, and it's all liquid, and to improve the chi of the water sort of thing, you know, the life force of the water, they've got certain little... sort of like bowls almost where the water runs through, like back and forward. You know, okay. Wave my arms around in the studio here, folks. I'm trying to think what I'm trying to.
like a skate ramp.
Yeah, like a skate ramp, kind of like chopped in half into little segments so the water runs like, back and forth and down and down and down to aerate it and put bubbles through it. And this brings it, but yeah, you know, I'm no expert on it, but it was cool, okay. Cool watching it. Yeah, and that sort of, but yeah, I don't know much about the horn stuff. Yeah.
I did this. I worked in Bolivia in like this really remote area. I was volunteering with this guy that had built this water filter, and it used, like, it was kind of like a concrete, like, rectangle long, standing up.
Mm.
And then he'd put, like, sand and different kind of, like, levels to filter the water to make it drinkable. And so he, but it's not the same thing, but, yeah, it's maybe the aeration, filtering.
Yeah, the filtering and aeration. I think there's a bit of that in there and, stuff like that.
But the horns, so I think you get, like, I don't really know much about it, but I think you get, like, 100 cow horns and fill them with cow manure and bury them in the ground.
But
it seems crazy to put... I don't mean crazy and like, but if there's no cows around, why are you going to put horns in the ground?
I've never heard the 100 thing, but I certainly know that, you know, usually it's one or whatever. And like,
maybe it's not 100.
But you put in certain stuff, right? I think the whole idea behind it is you put in certain stuff in the horn, and then like at a certain time of the moon phase, right? And then it grows a certain type of bacteria or something, which they then put into their liquid kind of fertilizer or treatments or whatever. So something like that, like I say, I'm a bit vague on
that
it all.
That sounds better than what my understanding of it.
But here we are both guessing and speculating anyway. We can make up any story and tell it to the listeners.
It's all true.
Yes, everything you've heard here is purely speculation, folks. Please, don't take it seriously. God, man. We better finish. We've been talking like an hour and 10 minutes.
We could go on forever, couldn't we? Well,
we could. I'd have to get you back in the studio, I think, to have more of a chat about this. But anyway, Laura has got a show called Pest Side from 8:30 on Sunday nights. 7:30 Sunday nights. And this week's special weed guest is?
I think it's going to be Privet.
Your mind's turning to Privet, okay.
I'm going to be pivoting on the Privet.
Pivot on the Privet. All right. That's something to look forward to on Raglan Community Radio there, folks. And, we better knock off, folks. So I hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you very much for coming in, Laura. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And, it's been fun. I'd like to get back on again at some stage in the future.
Cool.
Any other songs you want to go out with in particular?
What did I have out there? I had the...
What have I got?
Oh, you didn't play it.
The Soaked Oats. What did you have?
The Modest Mouse.
Oh, yeah. Where'd that go? Hang on, folks. I must have accidentally deleted it somewhere.
This is from my cockroach show. It's called Doing the Cockroach.
Doing the Cockroach. Modest Mouse doing the Cockroach. Okay.
We're going to be doing the Cockroach out of here.
Which live version do you want there? LA? Seattle? Any of those in particular sort of... Ring your bell.
That blue one.
This one? Or that one? This one?
Yeah, go that one.
All right, here we go, folks. Here's Modest Mouse doing the cockroach. And thanks again for coming in, Laura. Appreciate it. And thanks for listening, folks. Have a great week, and we'll be back in next week. Ka kite.
Bye. I'm not the writer.
Chad Griffin.